be with you again this evening, and thank you for the invitation to bring the message this evening to you. My name's Alan Quack. I'm from Northside Evangelical Church. We're a Baptist church over at Northgate, and Murray and I have gotten to know each other over the last year or so, and it's great to see a brother in church, and it's a real testimony to God's grace and strength as well for your recovery there. I'm not used to the Madonna mic thing. It's just a bit sort of, okay. Feels like my head's on backwards. There's this thing at the back of my head there and all this sort of thing, but that's all right. I will get used to it. But look, it's my pleasure to be here, and as we focus on the scripture tonight, we want to focus on who God is, what God has done, and his grace to us. Just to get us going, though, I want us to think about the 70s. And as I look around the room here, I guess there's a lot of people here, because of your age, who really don't know much about the 70s, which is pretty irrelevant, actually, because many people who lived in the 70s don't remember the 70s anyway, because there was too much drugs and too much alcohol and all that sort of thing. But there's something out of the 70s that came that's still around today, which I think that you will appreciate. So have a listen to this. It's not going to work. Going to the beach for a long time. 1975, that song came out, and even though you didn't live at that time, or even though you perhaps, you know, a much younger person, you might know that tune, and that tune is a tune that really does spark fear into people. And if they've seen the movie as well, which is a terrible movie, it's absolutely ferocious. And you look at it now, you just laugh at the CG and all of that sort of stuff. And the Mythbusters have proven that even if you do shoot an air tank that's stuck in a shark's mouth, it won't explode and the shark will not die like that. Even so, people still, they get this fear about this sort of stuff. And as we think about that, I guess where I'm going with this is life reflects that song in many ways. Because for many of us, we might not hear the song, but as we go through life, we have this sense of there's this fear that's behind all that we do. And we feel like at times we're treading water and there's darkness below us, and there's this sense of something's going to get us. And for all of us, it's going to be different. For some of us, the issue is money. There's this sense where I'm not sure if I got enough. We need more. Our income is less than our outgoings, and slowly we're getting into debt. And slowly but surely, there's this sense of fear that's coming in to our lives. Or maybe for some of us, it's the way that we interact socially. We go out, we don't feel so confident. Maybe we're a little bit introverted, and we're wondering if someone's going to notice us and someone's going to see us. And you know, there's all these young people and they're worried about the fact that they're 22 and there's no good guys around and all of this sort of thing, and there's this fear that happens. Or maybe there's this sense of wondering if they've got a purpose, or feeling overwhelmed with life, or unappreciated, or doubts that are creeping in about choices in life and all of those sorts of things. Or maybe there's even this sense of there's a spiritual attack. And in all of these things, underlying all of these things, there's this sense of fear. Now, it's not this fin that's coming towards you, but it feels like it sometimes. Now, the good thing about Jesus is a man who understands life. God sent his son to this world for a whole range of reasons, but one of those reasons is so that he could live and breathe and understand what it means to live on this earth. And so when Jesus preaches and when Jesus teaches, he's teaching as one of us. Yes, he is God, but he's also fully man. And he understands the fears, and he understands these things that we go through. And so he speaks to us, and he gives us an understanding of how to move forward. Tonight we're going to have a look at one of those sections where the Lord speaks to us, and that's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. So if you've got your Bible, I encourage you to open up to that point there and have a read through it. It's a fairly familiar passage if you've been around Christian circles for a while. It occurs in probably one of the most well-known sermons, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through to chapter 7, and Jesus preaches about a whole range of things. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, so he's speaking to people who love him and know him and want to follow him. And in chapter 6, verse 25 through to 34, we read these words. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, before we move forward too quickly, let's understand what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying, if the doctor suspects that you've got cancer, and then he sends you off and he gets you to have an MRI, that you just go, well, it doesn't matter, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to have this sense of fear, because it's a real issue that's going on in your life there. And he's not saying, look, when you see your credit card debt and it's getting bigger and bigger, don't just go, oh, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it. Jesus isn't saying that either. And he's not saying that when you go and have a driving test and you're nervous because you've failed 3 times already, that you can't have the butterflies in your stomach. He's not saying that. Rather, what Jesus is getting us to reflect on and look at is to think about what it means to be a believer, and what sort of worldview should I have as a believer? How should I look at myself? How should I act? How should I live? How am I going to go about my daily activities? Maybe we could put it this way. If I'm a Christian and I'm completely sold out for Jesus, what does that mean for me? Now, for some people, it means, well, I'll just dress up daggily. You know, Christians, for some reason, shouldn't have good clothes. And so I'll go to the op shop and I'll get the oldest clothes. Is that what Jesus is? This is what Christianity means. You know, for some people, that's what they think. Well, some people think that if you're a Christian, you've got to live in a small house. And you've got to just have the meager amounts of things. You know, you've got a table and there's some boxes that you found and they're the chairs. And that's what Christians do. And people are wondering about what it means to be a Christian. And there are people who are Christians who are dating. And they think, well, you know, Christians can't date hunky guys. And so they avoid the hunky guys because, well, that's not Christian. And there's all these wrong interpretations about what it means to be a Christian. And they have all these really unusual ways of expressing Christianity. And Jesus is coming along to that and he's saying, well, let's talk about it differently. I'm not talking about specifics. I'm not talking about rules. I'm not talking about regulations. You need to do this. You need to live like this. You need to act that way. That's not Jesus. Rather, he's getting us to look at the issues of life and recognize that we are asking the question, as a Christian, what's going to happen to me, Lord? And God says, and Jesus says, as you go through life, don't be anxious. This is a worldview. As you tread the path of Christianity and living for Christ, don't be anxious, which is a strange thing to say, really. One of the members of our church, her name's Kylie, she's an air hostess for Qantas. Now, I imagine Kylie, you know, she's the one, she's quite high up, and she's the one that gives the talk. You know, the one where she says, you know, if we're going to crash, make sure your seatbelt's on, because somehow that's going to help falling out of the sky at 1,000 kilometres an hour. But anyway, put your seatbelt on just in case. And so she's giving this talk, and then she says at the end of this talk, well, is there anyone worried or anxious? Put up your hand. And there's dear Mrs. Vandersnoot, and she's sitting in row 15C. And she puts up her hand, and Kylie comes up to her, and Mrs. Vandersnoot says, you know, I'm really anxious about this flight. And then Kylie just says, well, stop it. You're just being ridiculous. You're on a Qantas plane. We've never crashed in our whole, you know, our whole service. We've never had, you're just being silly. Is that what Jesus means? Is he some sort of air hostess Nazi? Just stop being anxious. You're being ridiculous. I don't think he is at all. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he's giving us an understanding of the world. How do we live? Because he knows us. He knows we're anxious creatures. And he starts off by helping us to answer this question by giving us a definition of anxiety. And the definition is found in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So basically, anxiety is taking what is there tomorrow and then grabbing hold of it and bring it into here and then focusing on it now. The worries of tomorrow being brought into the moment. And the problem with that is this, that when you take what is there and bring it into here, you stop focusing on the here, don't you? And you start worrying about things that are just not true. And what it happens is we start thinking about what's going to happen and all these things and all these scenarios. And then we get there and we find 99% of the scenarios that we were imagining didn't happen anyway. And so anxiety is letting the lies of the future determine who we are in the present. Which means we really need to see anxiety for what it really is. Anxiety really is on the first part, gone too far. The first part is really an effort on our part to play God. That's what anxiety is. You see, the only way we can control the uncontrollable is if we are God. And so anxiety is really us saying, I think I can control this. Let's be honest. If we've got children, we can't even control them. Some of us don't even know how to control ourselves. And then we think somehow we can control what's going to happen tomorrow. And we get all anxious and we get all worried. If only I try a little bit harder, if only I make a little bit more contribution, if I can do this, my piece of the world is better. I want to be like God. In our effort to be like God, to control the uncontrollable, we actually create greater anxiety. Also, isn't anxiety nothing more than putting our trust in lies? There's a gravestone in Britain, and the words that are written on a gravestone are called an epitaph. And the epitaph says, he had lots of troubles in his life, most of which never happened. Basically, he believed all the lies that were going to happen. And his mind dwelt on them, and his mind focused on them. And he let all these lies and all these untruths distract him. And he was an anxious man, full of fear. And he died from ulcers. Also, isn't anxiety not just a matter of trying to control the uncontrollable, not just a matter of believing the lies, but also isn't anxiety a sign that we lack trust? Guys who are here will appreciate this one. When you drive and the person driving with you is a female, who usually is the one who drives? Well, it's usually the guy, isn't it? That's my experience. And why do guys drive? Well, because we're just better drivers, aren't we? Well, this is what we think. But very, very recently, there was a study done in 2012. And this study proved beyond doubt that female drivers are actually better drivers than males by about a third. And male drivers, young male drivers, are 70% more likely to end up in a fatal car accident than females of the same age. And yet for some reason we think that we can't trust the person next to us just because she's a female. And this is anxiety, isn't it? Anxiety is this lack of trust. But we're not just not trusting a female driver, we're not trusting God. And we're saying to God, God, I want to be in the driver's seat. I don't want to be the passenger because I don't trust where you're taking me. And so Jesus is coming along and he's saying, if you're sold out for God, you've got to recognize these things. You've got to recognize you have control issues. You've got to recognize that you're believing in lies and you've got trust issues. And we go, well, why do we feel like that? Why is this the case? Well, the reason we get anxious is because we feel vulnerable, don't we? A number of people here are going back into study for the next year or maybe for the first year. And you know that as you get closer to the exams that you're going to feel more and more vulnerable, aren't you? And you're going to want to make sure everything's going well. And you'll get past your exams and then the day will come when your exam results are going to be posted online. Now, despite the fact that you have not got yourself out of bed before 11 o'clock at any other time of the year, you will get up at 6 a.m. and you'll be sitting at your computer, refresh, waiting for your results. Why? Because you feel vulnerable, don't you? When you go to the doctor, I love how they do this. They say, go and have a test. So you go off to the radiographer or wherever you're going and you get this envelope and there's this big sticker across the back and it says confidential, only to be opened by a medical practitioner. So what do? You get in the car and you open it and you have a look, don't you? And you pull out the slip and you read all these words and you go, well, I don't know what's going on anyway. I can't even understand the report. So you pull out your phone and start Googling all these words. And then you think you're going to die. And why have you done that? Because you feel vulnerable, don't you? This is what happens. And Jesus is saying, look, I understand that. Jesus understands what it means to be vulnerable. Remember, he is a man, a person like us. He experienced this world like us. He understood the vulnerability. And then he's coming along and he's saying, but in the midst of all that vulnerability, don't let yourself go across to the area of anxiety. There's another way. There's a different way. And so Jesus, after he helps us to understand what anxiety is, he then gives us a way to move forward. And he says, this is what you've got to do. If you're feeling anxious, you've got to adjust your thinking. Adjust your thinking. He says, look at the birds of the air. Let me try that again. There it is. Look at the birds of the air. And he's not saying, oh, you know, let's go out and have a look. Oh, there's a red-crested warbler. I've had a look at it. No, he says, have a think about this. Have a think about those magpies. You know, those rotten things that come every season, and then you're walking down the street and they swoop you from behind, and I'm sure they think that's funny because they got you on the head. Think about that. You know, they're rotten creatures, they really are. But they've always got food, haven't they? You don't know where their storehouse is. You don't know where they've put it all together. They haven't. And God takes those things, the magpies, and he feeds them. And he cares for them. These things that attack us. And then he says, aren't you more important than them? Don't you think that I'll look after you much more than I'll look after those magpies? And then he says, look at the lilies of the field. How beautiful these lilies are. They're intricate. They're amazing. These have this natural beauty that nothing in all of earth can compare. And God went to all this effort for this thing. And it's so insignificant. It's just grass. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. When it comes to clothes, don't you realize that God will look after you? Don't you realize that God is going to clothe you? Now, obviously, in this congregation, you don't have an issue with this sort of stuff because you've got the naked thing coming up, you know, just around the corner. So I'm pleased to hear that's the case. But some people worry about clothes. Some people do, don't they? And they worry about what they look like. And their shirts, they don't cost $20, they cost $200. And they're worried about the shoes that they wear and everything like that. But here's the thing about expensive clothes. You can have the most expensive clothes in the world, but you can be an ugly person on the inside. And I know plenty of people, and I'm sure you know them too, whose clothes are just ordinary, uncommentable on, and yet they are beautiful, God-loving, gracious people. Anxiety comes when we spend too much time worrying about what we look like and what other people think that we look like, and judging one another and judging ourselves. And God says, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what you look like. I've got that in hand. I'll take care of you. I'll provide you in such abundant ways. And so Jesus is coming along and he's saying, if you're an anxious person and these are the fears that come in life, you've got to start adjusting your thinking. Look around and think. Look around and think what's going on. And really the issue here is this. If you're not a thinking Christian, you will be an anxious Christian. So you've got to be a thinking Christian. And a thinking Christian is the Christian who doesn't allow the world around them to set the agenda for their life. The thinking Christian is a Christian who starts with the book. And then looks at the book and looks at the book, and God says to this person, if you love me, I will care for you. I even care for the people who don't love me. So stop worrying. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Think about that. If he sends rain on the unrighteous, don't you think he cares for you who love him? Who've dedicated yourself to him, who want to serve him. But we can get so stressed about so many things, can't we? Think back to the exams. You know, we all get told, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but we get told that exams and school is the be-all and end-all of everything. It's rubbish. How many of you know of Frank Lowy? Frank Lowy is a man who basically owns all of Westfield. Frank Lowy was an immigrant. He came to this country. The highest level of education he has got is grade 10. In 2010, he was the richest man in Australia. Last year, he was the third richest. exams aren't everything. The point that I'm making here is we get so stressed about so many things, and we've got to recognize that if we, as we trust in God, as we trust in His plans, He will provide. He will look after us. He will care for us. He's promised that that's what He will do. You see, what anxiety does, though, is it takes our eyes off the book. It takes our eyes off being a thinking person, thinking through the book, and we look at all this other stuff, and we let what we feel and what we see and our emotions and our doubts, and that's what we allow to take control. God's saying, no, stop and think. And then just to be sure we get it, Jesus doesn't just say, well, don't just have a look out there. He also says, let's look also to our Father in heaven. And twice He says it in this passage. Remember who your Father is. He says it there in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? For the pagans, in verse 31, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You can see this trend, can't you? In the space of a few short verses, Jesus comes in and says, look at your Father. Know who your Father is. And Jesus knows who the Father is. He's seen the Father. He's been with the Father since in eternity. And He's saying, know this Father as I know the Father. He's not a miserly Father. He's a generous Father. He's not a weak Father. He's the almighty and powerful Father. He's not an abusive Father. He loves you and He wants an eternal relationship with you. He's not a confused Father. He has a plan and He has a purpose. He is a Father who knows your needs. Look to your Father. You see, the Father is a parent. Sometimes good parents, like all good parents, they will do things that their children don't necessarily agree with. They say things like, don't eat worms. And the child looks at them and says, well, you eat spaghetti. It looks like worms. Why can't I eat worms? And they'll say things like, don't put the knife in the PowerPoint. How horrible is that? I'm just practicing my hand-eye coordination just at this point in time. Don't do that. Don't run across the road. Stop. Or they'll say things like, be careful who you choose as your friends. Well, what would you know? You're so old. You don't remember what it's like being my age. You see, parents are like that, don't they? They put rules, they put boundaries, and they do these things. And I'll be honest, even the best parents I know, and there's a lot of good parents I know, they make mistakes. But God is the Father, He never makes mistakes. And God comes to us and He gives us the scriptures and He says, look, if you do it this way, if you don't be anxious, if you trust in me, if you're thinking, it will go better for you. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. I am a Father who will not let you down. You see, the Father has a Son, and the Son's name is Jesus. And the Father looked at His Son, and He looked at us, and He said to His Son, you know what? If something's not done, these people who are my children, who are created in my image, they're all going to go to hell. And we stand here with our rebellion and our hatred and our standing against God and our mocking. And God looks at us and He says, I have a love for these people. And then He looks at His Son, His most precious Son, and He says to His Son, we've got to do something. And the Son says, okay, let's do it. And the Son comes to this earth as a child. Why? So that He can understand what it's like to be one of us. That He can understand the temptations, that He can understand the difficulties and the doubts and all of those things that we go through. He can understand the vulnerability. And then He lived to grow as a man, and as a man He preached. And all these people hated him because he was saying things that they didn't like, and eventually he ended up going to the cross. And on the cross, he cries out to his Father. And he says, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God doesn't answer at that point, and heaven is silent. But we know what the answer is, isn't it? It's because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That God gave that was most precious to him, because he looked at us in this world and he said, if I don't do anything, they're lost. You don't need to be anxious when you've got a Father like that. You don't have to worry about the future when you have God, a Father who cares for you like that, which gave the most precious thing that he had and chose you instead. This is what anxiety is. Anxiety is a fax to God where we say, I don't trust you, and I don't trust that you love me. Do you love me, God? Do you really love me? And God's saying, of course I love you. I have loved you from the moment that this creation was conceived. My eyes have been on you. I can't do anything else but love you, because you are in my image. Trust me. Trust me for your daily needs. Trust me to look after your relationship needs. Trust me for the long-term concerns that you have. Trust me for your finances. Trust me to look after your employment. But just put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. Get your priorities right. You see, at the end of the day, the way to deal with your anxiety is to think about the cross, to think about the resurrection, to think about the fact that God has done this because he wants you in his family. And if God wants you in his family, is he just going to ignore you? Is he just going to let you suffer? Is he just going to forget? Or is he going to care? Don't be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God first. Because the moment that you do that, you become the center of God's universe. And you can know that the same Heavenly Father who didn't even stop from giving his Son for you is watching over you at this very moment. If that's the case, how can we be anxious about anything? Let's pray. Father God, we live in a world where there are many doubts and where there are many questions, where fear comes up easily. And we want to ask God, help us to be thinking Christians. To think about our relationship with you, Jesus. To think about our Father who will provide all things. To think about our Father who cares for the most littlest parts of creation in such a powerful way. And then looks at us as his image bearers, broken image bearers that we are, but image bearers, redeemed by Christ. Lord, if we have come here today and we're carrying anxiety, help us to put it off in you. Help us to seek your kingdom first, so that we can look at the tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month, and we can hold on to you. Lord, may our agenda not be set by the world and by its judgments, but by your scripture and by your description of us. Father God, if we've come here today being anxious, may we hold on to you. But also, Father, perhaps we've come here tonight and we're anxious because we don't really know you. We don't know you, this Savior Jesus. We don't understand what he has done. And so we're anxious about so much, we're even anxious about our eternal destiny. Lord, if that is us, help us to put off our anxiety enough to speak to the one of the people here tonight, to share the state of our spiritual relationship with you, to recognize that perhaps we're not walking as we should, to know that this is a place not of fear and judgment, but a place of love, a place where honesty and vulnerability are able to be shown. Enable us all to walk from here tonight, Lord, being able to say, my relationship with Jesus is growing. It's strong. I walk on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the blessing of today. We ask that you'll go with us into this week as thinking Christians. Bring to mind, Lord, the words that we've heard today, whether this evening or if we were here this morning in the service, the fellowship that we've had, knowing that you are preparing us for this week ahead to be equipped to serve you. Hear our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.